Ooh, it looks like everybody that Reagan has once possessed the Retro Rankings podcast once again for a second Halloween episode. And I am your host, Paul. Let me tell you something. We've got a guest on with us today. Say hi, TJ.
Hi, TJ.
Yes, that's right. TJ of Potation Rotation Reviews YouTube fame on with us today. And TJ, what are you drinking this evening?
Oh, this evening I'm drinking Simply Lemonade with Raspberry.
Simply Lemonade with Raspberry. We're keeping it non-alcoholic. I, this month for the second Halloween episode, am drinking yet again the 2021 Mountain Dew Voodoo version number 3, kind of trying to keep it consistent. I'm going to take a drink of it right now. It's also fruity. And I just got my lips a little bit wet. Anyway, so this is going to be, again, another departure. No video game talk today. Not even talking video games in the intro. We're going to skip all that today. But in the spirit of Halloween, we are legitimately going to be discussing Halloween, like the films. TJ, what is your thought on Halloween? Do you like the Halloween season?
Yep, I love the Halloween season.
Yeah,
it's always actually been one of my favorite holidays.
Yeah, you've got your house all decked out as well.
Yes, we do.
Yes, I have seen it when I was over for dinner. You got your house all nice and decked out. I used to do just a little bit. I used to do a little bit of decorating for Halloween and Christmas, really the only two that I ever did anything with. And now it's pretty much, we just put up a small tree, at Christmas. Don't even really do the Halloween decorations anymore. And it's probably cause I'm fat and lazy and just don't want to do any of that shit. But fall is my favorite season and Halloween has always been mine as well. I mean, there's always a good excuse to watch horror films, a lot of horror films. Mm-hmm. And the month of October horror films are good all year round. But I mean, like I said, you have an excuse to watch a bunch of them at once. And it's Halloween. It's October, right?
That's right.
So what, beside the Halloween season, what are your other favorite horror movies just off the top of your head?
I'll see. Just off the top of my head, I love the Saw movies. My number one.
Yeah.
It's kind of horror, kind of bloody disgusting, but those are always my favorites.
Yeah.
Along with I love all of the Friday the 13th.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd have to say Friday the 13th is pretty much my number one series of slasher flicks, if you will. And actually one of the only series where a remake, which was, when was that remake? 2009?
Yeah, I think already, so. Like
12 years ago. That remake was actually really fantastic.
Yeah, I enjoyed that remake a lot.
Yeah, so, and since then, the rights have been in hell, and I guess there was some recent verdict that was reached where one of the guys that wrote the original does have the rights back, but that is literally for what it comes down to as Pamela Voorhees and the unhockey masked version of Jason and the child Jason, not even the adult Jason. I don't think he's got the rights to. So I don't know how this is going to play out. I don't know when we're getting another Friday the 13th movie. It's just been a mess. And I just wish somebody would just be like, just fucking make a goddamn movie. Like, but yeah. But Halloween, is my second favorite. I can't say that. Unfortunately, I don't think Saw is like really in my top five at all. I don't know, man, like somewhere in the middle, they just lost me. And I was just like, it's just like a rinse and repeat type thing. But whatever, to each his own, as they say.
Yep.
So, so Halloween. So it's kind of like a whole thing going on with this podcast episode today. So it's the Halloween season, and we're talking about the Halloween movies. Halloween Kills just came out, which we just saw, and it was okay, right?
Yep. Yeah. It wasn't too bad.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad. It wasn't the 2019.
Yeah, I think 2019. Yeah, 2019 version.
It wasn't the 2019 reboot version or anything, but it's definitely not the worst entry into the series. But we can save that for another time. Maybe it made our list, maybe it didn't. I have a feeling it probably didn't. But but anyway, let's just get right into this, because this could be a long one. Today we are ranking, myself and TJ, our top seven Halloween the film series movies of all time. Halloween 2007 version. This Halloween is a 2007 horror film written, directed, and produced by Rob Zombie. It is a reboot of the Halloween franchise and a remake of the original 1978 horror film of the same name, as well as the ninth installment in the entire film series. The picture stars Tyler Mane as the adult Michael Myers, Malcolm McDowell as Samuel Lewis, and Scout Taylor Compton as Laurie Strode. Danielle Harris makes her return to the franchise playing Annie Brackett after her previous stint as Jamie Lloyd. And Dave Furch portrays the 10-year-old Michael. Rob Zombie's reimagining, and I put that loosely in quotes, follows the premise of John Carpenter's original, with serial killer Michael Myers stalking teenage Laurie Strode and her friends on Halloween night. Zombie's film goes a little deeper into the character's psyche, trying to answer the questions of what drove him to kill people, while in Carpenter's original, Michael did not have an explicit reason for killing. Working from Carpenter's advice to make Zombie's film his own zombie film, Rob Zombie chose to develop it as both a prequel and a remake, allowing for more original content than simply recreating the same scenes. Despite mixed to negative reviews, the film, which cost $50 million to make, went on to gross a little over $80 million worldwide, making it the highest grossing film in the franchise in unadjusted U.S. dollars, a status it kept for over a decade. Zombie followed the film with a sequel, Halloween 2, in 2009. So let me just say, before we get to TJ's here, I rewatched my entire box set, my entire DVD series. Actually, it was late summer when I decided I wanted to watch all the Halloween movies. I purposely skipped Rob Zombie's Halloween and Halloween 2 because I never liked the 2007 version. I never actually even saw Rob Zombie's Halloween 2 because of my dislike for his vision of the Shape, aka Michael Myers. Plus, I had other people tell me, if I really didn't care for the first one, don't bother with the second one. So I never did. However, I will say this up front. I did watch Halloween 2, and I thought it fucking was just terrible. And it obviously, if the first one got mixed to negative reviews, I don't know what the reviews were for his second one, but must have not been good. Must have not did well. I mean, it didn't spawn a third. And I thought it was just wretched, and it was just a piece of shit. And his 2007 vision of Halloween, I thought it was just good enough to be better than a few of the other worst entries in the franchise, which I can't really tell you what those are because it's going to give away my list going forward. But it was just good enough to make at least number 7 on my list. The major complaint I have as to why, well, I actually have 2 major complaints as to why it wouldn't be any higher is because number 1, it's just injected with Rob Zombie shit. It's like these like Southern Alabama redneck hillbilly fucks, trailer trash people. That's like the characters. That's how most of them are. That's how they talk. It's disgusting. It doesn't need to be in there, but I mean, it's like what makes Tim Burton a Tim Burton film, only trashy. That's what Rob Zombie does. And it's fine. You know, that kind of shit was fine for like his own films, but to inject that kind of stuff into something as storied as the Halloween franchise, I thought was kind of a slap in the face. And number 2, I didn't like them prying into this newly developed origin story for Michael Myers. I liked the fact that the original kept it like mysterious. What drives him? Why is he doing what he's doing? We may never find out. So those are my 2 complaints. And I had to watch Rob Zombie's Halloween 2 for the sake of recording this podcast. I wish I could get my time back. And, you know, maybe also flush my eyes out with some acid or something, because I just, you know, maybe get a brain transplant as well so I can forget. But anyway, I guess I just had to. I can't talk about my dislikes of Halloween 2007 without basically saying that it's amplified for the sequel. I had to talk about the sequel a little bit, but. That's my number 7, Rob Zombie's Halloween 2007. TJ, what is your number 7?
Yeah. My number 7 is Halloween H2O, 20 years later. Yeah. It came out in 1998 and was directed by Steve Miner. It starred Jamie Lee Curtis and LL Cool J as Ronnie the security guard. 20 years after Michael Myers' massacre in Haddonfield, Laurie Strode faked her own death to get away from her brother. She traveled to California and took on the identity Carrie Tate and became a headmistress at her son's school. Michael discovers Laurie's new identity and travels to California to kill his sister. Laurie must take on her brother now with her son's life at risk. Yeah. I thought this movie was good. I wouldn't go as far as saying the movie was great. It was a good movie. I'm very happy Jamie Lee Curtis is still in it. And LL Cool J. Yeah, but it pretty much had Michael running around at her son's boarding school after he got there to kill her, to go ahead and try to kill his sister again.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it was a good movie. It wasn't my number 1.
Clearly. this is where it kind of gets interesting. Let's pause right there and we're going to move on to my
6.
Also Halloween H2O 20 years later. So mine was one slot better than yours on the list. It falls into my number 6. I'm going to agree with you. I think that when you take a look at some of the previous entries, almost most of them, with the exception. Well, see, that's what sucks about talking about this, is because you can't talk about it too much, because you're going to give away what might be further down on your list, or up on your list, I should say, for the rest of the episode. But save for a few, this was a little bit better of an entry than where the series was going. It was almost, it felt fresh. It felt like it was a reboot, and it probably because it was bringing Jamie Lee Curtis back into the fold and, you know, trying to inject some OG sauce into the franchise, you know. It overall looked better. I thought it was shot better. Cinematography was more improved than the past few entries before that. But yeah, I have to agree with you on the points that you made as well. I just think that it was tough. This was almost my number seven. I was going to give Rob Zombie's Halloween a little bit of extra points, but I just couldn't get past the trailer trash part of it. It was still, I think his was better fleshed out than Halloween H2O, his 2007 version, but I just, the trashiness of it, the Rob Zombie feel, I just, yeah. So, but that's why H2O is number six for me. All right, so let's move right along here.
Five.
Halloween 4, The Return of Michael Myers. Halloween 4, The Return of Michael Myers is a 1988 horror film and the fourth installment in the Halloween film series. Halloween 4 is directed by Dwight H. Little. That's quite the name, Dwight Little. Sounds like he should be like a comedian or something. Mm-hmm. Now performing tonight on the stage at Joker's, Dwight Little. Anyway, and it was written by Alan B. McElroy. The central plot focuses on Michael Myers, played this time by George P. Wilbur, awakening from a coma 10 years after his 1978 killing spree in Haddonfield, Illinois, and returning home to kill his niece, Jamie Lloyd, Danielle Harris, the daughter of Laurie Strode, with Sam Loomis, played by Donald Pleasance, once more pursuing him. As the title suggests, the fourth installment marks the return of Michael Myers, the central villain of Halloween 1978 and Halloween 2, 1981. You know what? Fuck the film industry and Hollywood for doing this to this film series, where we have to always say the years after which Halloween movie we're talking about. Following his absence from Halloween 3, Season of the Witch in 1982. Initially, John Carpenter and Deborah Hill retired the Myers plotline after the second installment of the series, intending to feature a new Halloween film every year, of which Halloween 3 would have been the first. However, due to lack of success of the third entry, Halloween 4 reintroduced a Myers-related plot, and it has remained in the series ever since. The film was a moderate box office success, grossing $17 million domestically on a $5 million budget. It received a mixed reaction by critics, however, was generally well-received by fans of the series, and this is why it's at number five for me. So, as my little manifesto on Halloween 4 stated, that it was generally well received by fans. I think it's because, obviously, of the reaction that Halloween 3 got. Like, where the fuck is the Shape? Bring him back. This is stupid. I want to see a Halloween film with Michael Myers. And therefore, bam. Here we go. Here's Michael Myers. You can have him. Interestingly enough, I feel that Halloween 3 is actually a better film. So it's somewhere still between 1 and 4. But I don't want to tell you why yet. But I can appreciate the fact that some people wanted Michael Myers back, and that kind of is what made 4, to most people, a better film than 3, because it was the return of Michael Myers. It was kind of also it was kind of also nice to have Laurie Strode not really be the central character. So you could have Michael Myers return and have a fresh batch of people, with the exception of Sam Loomis. But, you know, he remains the constant. He's the constant in most of the films. You always got to have one person that you should really have, the one person that's a constant. I kind of feel it helps bridge the gap between the old characters and the new characters. And that's what happens here. And it does it. The film does it well. So of the sequels, Sands 3, which I'm telling you is already going to be on my list better than this one, and H2O, which we already talked about, of the sequels, 5, The Curse of, and Resurrection, it's better. It's the better of those four, if you want to put cluster four into those other three that I just mentioned. It's just overall a better film. So talking about kind of placing it halfway in the list of the entirety of all the Halloween films released thus far, not counting Halloween Kills, that just came out. It's still fresh in the brain. Can't really say it's good or bad yet. It's going to take some repeat viewings, but for me, it's just good enough to be mediocre. You know, it's not good. It's not bad. It's right in the middle. And therefore for me, it falls at number 5. TJ, what is your number 5 Halloween movie?
My number 5 is Halloween 5, The Revenge of Michael Myers. Released in 1989, that stars Donald Pleasance. It is 1 year later, after the events of Halloween 4. Michael survives the shootings, and on October 31st, he returns with a vengeance. Lurking and stalking Jamie, who is actually Laurie Strode's child, and Rachel, her foster sister, and Rachel's friends, Michael forms a plan to lure Jamie out of the children's hospital, where the events lead up to a confrontation at the Myers house. Halloween 5, it's a dark thrill-eyed that will scare the heck out of you. I thought this movie wasn't too bad. It definitely wasn't one of my favorites, but it wasn't too bad of a movie. If you want a nice horror flick,
there's gonna be some people that say, you know, if you like 4, you'll like 5. For me, 5, it's not the worst. Halloween 2, Rob Zombie's Halloween 2, is definitely like the worst. It's like dead last on my list personally. Halloween 5 is just about, well, Halloween 5 is like 9 or 10. I don't know. I don't remember. 8, 9, 10. I don't know. Maybe it's probably like 9. I don't know. We can't get into all that shit. But for me, like Halloween 5 was kind of like taking Halloween 4 and like the Funhouse, but that was kind of fresh for the franchise, bringing Michael Myers back and bringing in and making this like Funhouse version of it, and like totally just bastardizing it and putting it on like a rinse and repeat cycle to me. Like I felt like watching 5, like it was just done in 4 for me. But you know, we all have our opinions. It just didn't do it for me as much as it did it for you, for it to be at number 5. But yeah, you know, like I said, it's, for me, it's not the worst. I think there's worse horror films out there than Halloween 5. So I just got an email. I just noticed I got an email that says my participant has joined my personal meeting room. I wonder who that could be.
I'll give you one guess.
TJ?
Yeah, very good.
All right. Anyway, moving right along here. Halloween 2, 1981. This Halloween 2 is a 1981 horror film and the second installment in the Halloween series. Directed by Rick Rosenthal and written by John Carpenter and Deborah Hill, it is a direct sequel to the first film, set on the same night of October 31st, 1978, in the fictional American Midwest town of Haddonfield. The seemingly indestructible Michael Myers follows his intended victim, Laurie Strode, to a nearby hospital, while Dr. Samuel Loomis is still in pursuit of his patient. Stylistically, Halloween 2 reproduces certain key elements that made the original Halloween a success, such as first-person camera perspectives and unexceptional settings. However, it departs significantly from its predecessor by incorporating more graphic violence and gore, making it align more closely with other films in the emerging slasher film subgenre. Still, the sequel was a box office success, grossing over $25.5 million in the United States. Halloween 2, as I was saying kind of as part of talking about 4, was originally intended to be the last chapter of the Halloween series to revolve around Michael Myers and Haddonfield. But after the lackluster reaction to the third installment, Halloween 3, Season of the Witch, Michael Myers returned 7 years later in Halloween 4, which we already just talked about. So here's my thought process on this. You're probably thinking like, holy shit. So Paul, you said Halloween 3 was going to be between 1 and 4, and it wasn't your 4. Do I think Halloween 3 is better than 4? Yeah, it's still between 1 and 3, obviously. it's subjective, and I'm going to explain why. More of it. You know what? No, I'm not going to explain myself until I get to Halloween 3 on my list. But for me, Halloween 2, it's like what I told you, what I thought what 5 was to 4. It was like taking the original, and we had seen the original and kind of gives you the same feeling, but ups the ante with the violence. And I'm like, you know what? It's definitely a top 5 Halloween movie. But it dropped a little on my list because for me, it already seen it. It's already been done. Between just taking 2 and 3 and 4 and pulling them out and knowing what they were going to do, they were going to do like this anthology after 2, with 3 being its own, Season of the Witch. That's going to be its own thing. And then the 4th Halloween was going to be something else completely different. And it was going to be something every year, kind of like a Tales from the Crypt or Creepshow type of thing, where you get a different story every time. And that to me is actually quite exciting. In fact, if like somehow they could have taken Halloween and, well, you know what? It doesn't matter, because every horror film that comes out at this point is its own thing. Mm-hmm. So I can't say that they could have taken Michael Myers and given him his own separate franchise when they wanted him to come back, and then kept the Halloween name with the anthology series. I guess looking back, that wouldn't make much sense, but that's kind of like why I'm putting things where I'm putting them, is that I enjoyed second enough that it's better than most Halloween films, but I don't think it's better than 3, because it's was already number 1 just on a little bit of crack or something. And 4 is where it's at, because it's kind of like a return with Michael Myers, and it hasn't exactly been done before, and it's, you know, but it still feels somewhat stale. So I'm trying not to give away too much, because then I'd essentially be talking about Halloween 3, but it's definitely better than Rob Zombie's Halloween 2. And I'll be honest with you, it's better than Halloween Kills. And interestingly enough, since I'm kind of in the throes of this topic, I read recently that Halloween Ends, which comes out a year from now, is literally going to be the end. I mean, you got to think about it. What more can they do? How many times can they kind of restart this thing, right?
Yeah. Very true.
Yeah. So what they are actually trying, or maybe not trying, I don't know how far they've gotten yet, but what they're going to attempt to execute is the anthology series again. So Halloween Ends, I heard, will be the end of Michael Myers. And the next Halloween film that comes out is going to be without Michael Myers. So it's going to be interesting to see if they can pull it off again. Will we get a remake of Season of the Witch? I don't know. Remains to be seen, but I'm just saying, since kind of talking about that topic right now. I want to throw that out there. If anybody, if I'm mistaken, just shoot me an email, potationrotation@gmail.com. But I'm pretty sure I literally just read that before seeing Halloween Kills, that ends is the end of Michael Myers. What do you, what are your thoughts on that, TJ?
Well, yeah, well, I will admit, yeah, Michael Myers has actually been in a lot of them, and it's going to be different seeing as how this is a good possibility going to be his last movie.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to get to a, like I said, it's at a point where it's already been like rebooted and re-envisioned and sequeled to death. And as much as Michael Myers is a staple and horror, the horror slasher genre of films, maybe it's time just to move on a little bit, you know, and say, take a back. I mean, look how the backseat Jason's taken so far. And I think there's the diehards like me that it's like, just fucking get this over with and make another Friday the 13th movie. But I think, you know, it's 12 years since that one. I think we're all surviving without Jason. And I think we can do the same without Michael Myers. I'd hate to say it, but I think we can wait a little bit. So TJ, anyway. Anyway, TJ, what is your number four Halloween film?
Oh, ironic enough, my number four was Halloween 4.
Oh, so kind of like a little flip and reverse of the last two. Okay, well, you don't need to talk much of the description, but why is it number four? What do you like and what do you dislike?
Well, let's see. Well, I mean, I like that Daniel Harris played it. I appreciate the fact that they actually brought Michael Myers back after him being absent in season of the Witch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I love the fact, how they kind of showed when they brought Michael Myers back, they kind of showed what had happened to him after the end of part two and how he ended up getting resurrected and brought back in part four.
Right.
Yeah.
So, right. And that.
Yeah. So I gotta say, this is actually this one for me was actually pretty good.
Yeah, and you know, as the series progressed, we also got a little bit more of a fleshed out story on what was going on and why Michael Myers was doing what he was doing. And obviously now at this point, he's kind of like this supernatural, unstoppable entity of some sort. And that's, again, that's kind of like why, like, you got one and two and then four. And then by the time you get to five, it's pretty much set in stone. So his backstory, if you will, was kind of fleshed out across three films, whereas Rob Zombie just tried to cram everything in like the first act of his reboot, which I didn't like. So it kind of just takes the mystery and just completely gets rid of it, which is what I hated about his film. But I completely agree with you. Obviously, I mean, it flipped around a little bit. So you can look at this one of two ways. We're adults, and actually she's like our age. She's like 40 or early 40s or something. But when she grew up, Daniel Harris became quite the looker. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not gonna lie, I think I appreciated her more in Rob Zombie's Halloween movie, if you know what I'm saying.
Yep.
Than her little clown outfitted self in these two films. Of course, being the same age, when I saw them, I'm like, oh, this girl's a cute little girl. I wish she was my girlfriend, you know, something like that. And then you see her growing up, you know, with our age too. And then she goes topless for quite a long time, actually, even like after she gets bludgeoned almost to death, she's still like laying there naked, alive and disgustingly bloody. But I'm like, they're really, Rob Zombie's really giving the Daniel Harris fans their money's worth. I'll give him that much. But yes, Daniel Harris. She's probably, if I ever went to a horror convention and Daniel Harris was there, I'd probably lose my shit. I'm going to be honest with you. Kind of like, you used to have like, you used to talk about Rebecca De Mornay a lot when we were when we were growing up. She was like one of your favorite like horror thriller people.
Yep. Well, yeah, I still like her to this day.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm kind of like the same way. Everybody's got like, well, what was this? She was Hand That Rocks the Cradle.
Yep. That was it.
And oh, she was in the remake of The Shining as well.
Oh yeah. That's right.
Yeah. So she's done it. She's got a couple horror films under her belt and horror thriller type movies. And so I kind of, when I think of her, those are like the only movies I really think of her in, those type of movies. And everybody's kind of like got their like favorite like horror actress, and mine happens to be Danielle Harris. But let's move on from Danielle Harris. I'm going to stop gushing. Halloween 3, Season of the Witch. There it is. There it is, folks. Halloween 3, Season of the Witch is my number 3 from 1982, the American horror film and third installment in the Halloween series. Directed by Tommy Lee Wallace and starring Tom Atkins, Stacey Nelkin, and Dan O'Herlihy, the film is based on an original screenplay by Nigel Neal and focuses on an evil scheme by the owner of a mask company to kill the children of America on Halloween night through a series of popular Halloween masks, which include a witch, a jack-o'-lantern, and a skull. Season of Witch, of course, does not feature Michael Myers, which I've said. It's unrelated to all the other films in the franchise, as it was intended, like I said, to pick up as an anthology series at this point, releasing a new storyline every year. The only connection this movie has with the others in the series is a scene where the trailer for John Carpenter's original 78 Halloween is airing on a TV in a bar. Besides wholly abandoning the Michael Myers plotline, Halloween 3 departs from the slasher film genre which the original Halloween spawned. The focus on a psychopathic killer is replaced by a mad scientist and witchcraft theme. Produced on a budget of $2.5 million, Halloween 3 grossed $14.4 million at the box office in the U.S. In addition to relatively weak box office returns, most critics of the film gave it negative reviews. Where Halloween had broken new ground and was imitated by many genre films following in its wake, this third installment seemed out of place to many. One critic 20 years later suggests that if Halloween 3 was not part of the Halloween series, then it would simply be a fairly nondescript 80s horror flick, no worse than any others, no better for that matter either, which is why I'm saying, okay, so I'm going to talk a little bit about this and why it's where it's at on my list. I think, for what it's worth, this is a fun fucking movie. It's just, there's something to be said about a, like this, like I just described, like this guy that's almost like this mad scientist who is just like, I'm going to just create these masks that these kids are going to put on their heads. And then we're going to play this commercial and their heads are going to fucking explode like all over the world. And like for him to like be able to get out and get that reach and get these kids in his grasp, so to speak, like it kind of plays on the kids are fucking stupid. And I guess, and the parents don't fucking pay attention to them type of thing. But I guess, you know, parents, they pay attention to a fault. They're probably not knowing the mask looked innocent. Well, I mean, I guess what do the parents know too, right? But and then the commercials with the I mean, they're annoying, don't get me wrong, with the dancing, the shamrock thing, the happy smile. I can't you know what, I'm just gonna insert theme here. Happy, happy Halloween, 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 happy, happy Halloween, silver shamrock. Happy, happy Halloween, 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 happy, happy Halloween, silver shamrock.
It's almost time, kids. The clock is ticking. Be in front of your TV sets for the horror-thon. And remember the big giveaway at 9. Don't miss it. And don't forget to wear your masks. The clock is ticking. It's almost time.
Happy, happy Halloween, Halloween, Halloween. Happy, happy Halloween, Silver Shamrock. Happy, happy Halloween, Halloween, Halloween. Happy, happy Halloween, Silver Shamrock.
So now you know what I'm talking about. Like, it's, is it annoying? Yeah. But I think it's like, it's, there's something like, it's like a guilty pleasure type of thing for me. Of course, seeing these films originally as a kid, I actually saw Halloween 3 first before I saw the other ones. Mm-hmm. And so I always thought that I remember blatantly seeing Halloween 3. And as a kid, I thought, man, this is, I'm watching an R-rated horror movie. This is great. I love it. As any kid would be watching a horror movie in the 80s, especially in the 80s. But then seeing Halloween 1 and 2, it made me realize that something wasn't right. Like, where is... So Michael Myers is in the first one and the second one. He's not in the third one. The third one feels way off, way different. And I didn't understand it. But as I got older and rewatching and up till even recently, like, I have a weird appreciation and fondness for 3. It's probably a little bit more on the side of, I kind of have this super nostalgic feeling for Halloween 3 because it was the first Halloween movie that I saw. So it kind of just tugs on my horror heartstrings a little bit more than, say, even the original 2. But yeah, I would have to say that there are a group of people out there, some diehard Halloween fans, that of all the films in the entire franchise, that this is the cult classic of all of them. I think it has a cult status that's bigger than any of the other entries. So I personally, I love Halloween 3. I don't love it as much for it to be 1 or 2, but it's, I mean, for a top 3 film, in this franchise, that's what it does for me. And that's why it's number 3 on my list. TJ, what's your number 3?
My number 3 was Halloween Resurrection.
Oh boy, here we go.
Tell us a little bit about that, TJ.
Yeah, Jamie Lee Curtis and Brad Laurie. Yeah. Freddie and Nora, they were the heads of a reality website called Dangertainment. For the first broadcast, they decided to hire a group of college students to explore the ruins of the infamous murderer, Michael Myers. The 6 cash-strapped friends decided to explore the home. What they didn't know is that Michael is on his way back home to Haddonfield. Unless they can stop him, they will become his next victims. I thought this movie was pretty good. They decided to explore his home just to kind of find out why he ended up going mad, and they end up confronting him along the way in his home.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I thought this one was actually pretty good. Yeah. Plus, I just ended up watching this movie last night.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Kind of a Halloween movie thing last night.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was watching something else. I wasn't actually watching horror movies last night. It wasn't horror movie night, but yeah, you know, this is where we actually are like on different ends of the spectrum here. I mean, for you, it's 3, so it's top 3. For me, it's like bottom 3. I don't know, man. It's a little too campy and like, I felt like it was already like reused, and you know, it's still not the worst. It's still not a Rob Zombie Halloween movie, but I think of the original mainline story, if you will, I kind of had, I think part of it also is after seeing Halloween H2O, and I was like, wow, mm-hmm. This series is going to get back on track. And then that one came out. I'm like, this series is going to be going down to the dumps again. Like, that's kind of like how I felt about it personally. But hey, like I've been saying, to each his own. We've had, what's interesting is, the people that are listening to this podcast, TJ and I in the past have done some movie rankings on the YouTube, on the Potation Rotation channel. And we've done genres, or we've done, like, we did Christmas films or whatever. So they run a gamut. This is the first time we've really kind of just focused in on a single franchise. And so even though everything was kind of, I mean, we were pretty close on some Christmas movies, if I remember correctly, but, like, this is the first time we're really kind of just getting right into one thing. And it's interesting to see where we kind of feel things lie. And is this what's going to happen? So, all right, TJ. So your number three was Resurrection.
Yep.
Good for you.
This is a load of barnacles.
I heard that.
We only got two left, TJ. We got two left. So it's going to be interesting because neither of us has said, there's two films neither of us have said yet. So this is going to be, I'm really interested in this. But let's move along.
All right.
Two.
Halloween 2018. This Halloween is the 2018 sequel to Halloween 1978, written by David Gordon Green and Danny McBride, with David Gordon Green also directing the film. It was released on October 19th, 2018, and is the 11th installment in the franchise, picking up 40 years after the events of the original film, as it disregards all the previous sequels. Series co-creator John Carpenter serves as an executive producer and creative consultant for the film. Two consecutive follow-ups went into development from former rights holder Dimension Films, respectively, but neither achieved fruition. As a result, the studio lost the rights to the intellectual property, which were later obtained by Blumhouse with John Carpenter's involvement. Carpenter, who disagreed with the remake's portrayal of lead killer Michael Myers, go John Carpenter, planned on helping the studio to make the next Halloween film into what he believed to be more terrifying than the preceding sequels. Filmmakers Green and Danny McBride, who were already fans, proposed their vision to Blumhouse and Carpenter. It was accepted and developed into a direct sequel to the original, with Jamie Lee Curtis reprising her role as Laurie Strode and Nick Castle as well as Michael, respectively. The film was distributed by Universal Pictures, its first involvement in the franchise since Halloween 3, Season of the Witch. So if I thought Season of the Witch was refreshing, if I thought that Halloween H2O was like, oh, this is bringing the franchise back. And then you take a look at a remake re-envisioning that was Rob Zombie and you're thinking, what, that they've done fucked this up. This was right. And you know what? I know it completely ignores even two, which is a good film. The original two, not Rob Zombie's two. I know it completely like ignores everything, but I like that. I like the fact that it was a reboot without completely rebooting it from the very beginning. And that allowed it to take it in a newer, fresher direction. And I kind of think that, I mean, Blumhouse, really, he's that studio, Blumhouse himself, he's been like the horror master of the new generation, I guess the current generation. It's kind of like, I hate to say it maybe, but like our version of like a John Carpenter. He's been pumping out horror movies left and right. And he also did the most recent Benji film, which as a Benji fan, I've been a Benji fan. I could do probably an entire episode somewhere just talking about Benji and the Benji films and breaking those down. I liked the Blumhouse version of Benji. Not many people did. Anyway, so he did have a little foray into a little something different other than horror. But Halloween 2018, I thought, was exciting. It was refreshing. I was like, let's see where this goes. I hated the fact that we had because it was supposed to be Halloween. Actually, technically, we were supposed to have all Halloween ends by now. Like this was the trilogy was supposed to be done. But that never happened because of COVID. I think it was supposed to be, 18, 20, and 22. I don't remember what the original plan was. We were supposed to get kills last year. Maybe we were supposed to get ends. Yeah, 18, 20, 22. Okay, so we weren't supposed to get ends yet. We were supposed to get kills last year. We got it this year because of COVID. But yeah, I thought this is, it just felt right for the first time in a long time. And I liked what they did and it got me excited again. And that's just why this Halloween, which is Halloween, which is the new Halloween 2, but they just called it Halloween. Mm-hmm. I have, fuck it. Halloween 2018 is my number two. TJ, what is your number two?
My number two is Halloween 2 from 1981.
Halloween 2 from 1981. Okay, so we already talked about that, didn't we?
Yeah, we did earlier. Yeah,
that was my number four. We already talked about Halloween 2, 1981, right? You said? Yeah.
Yep, 1981.
Yeah, so you don't have to give any descriptions, but let us know why it's number two for you.
Yeah. Well, I think the reason it's number two for me is, you know, I kind of like the storyline how, you know, after Lori got taken to the hospital, Michael Myers decided they had Michael Myers continued to stalk her there, and then she had to try to fight to save her own life with the help of Dr. Loomis. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really enjoyed it going into instead of the house like she was in the first one, go to a different setting and trying the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I really enjoyed Halloween 2.
Yeah, you know, I'll give you props for putting that where you put it. You know, for me, this is my first time really kind of being able to take a film franchise and laying out all the titles and thinking back to how I rewatched most of them recently. And like I said, I just got done watching Rob Zombie's 1 and 2 within the recent weeks. And Halloween Kills recently. You know, I was able to take these and kind of start at the bottom and work my way up. And mm-hmm. You know, like I said, I kind of flipped 7 and 6 around a little bit. I was pretty much steadfast that Halloween 4 would be my number 5. When I got to my top 5, you know, I don't know. Well, when I got to my top 3, really, it was a toss up. I almost had Halloween 2 a little higher. Yeah, Halloween 2, 1981. Just Halloween 2, 1981. I had a little bit higher, and I think I had it at one point. I had it at 2, and then I had it at 3, and then I thought my list was finalized. I'm looking at it, and I'm thinking real hard about it. I'm like, no, I want to flip this around and switch that, and had to watch some, cause I don't want to rewatch a movie to be like, do I really want this here? I watched some clips just to kind of like, mm-hmm. like, yeah, this is what I need. This is what I need, where I need to put stuff. And so, yeah, it would have been a little bit higher for me as well, but I agree with you. It's good. I mean, I'm not, like I said, it's definitely, a top five. I just felt like for me, like I said, again, without beating a dead horse, it was kind of like taking the first one and just adding a little bit more violence to it. And I kind of felt like it was done before, but overall it's not a terrible movie. So, and how about you, TJ? What are you sitting on right now, TJ?
I'm sitting on the couch.
Oh, that's probably more comfortable than this chair that's killing my ass right now. Oh my gosh. It's funny because, we sit in these chairs. I'm sitting in one of the padded folding chairs here at my, mm-hmm. at my desk. And like when we have people over and play games and we've been drinking, my ass doesn't hurt. Like it doesn't bother me, but, but when I'm recording a podcast episode and usually if I am drinking anything, it's usually just one alcoholic beverage. It's not enough to make the pain go away. So I'm definitely feeling it in my ass right now. But hey, my ass is about to be relieved because we're about to wrap this son of a bitch up.
Yeah! Jesus fucking Christ, it's about time.
One.
Halloween 1978. This is the OG Halloween, everybody. The original 78 American slasher film that started it all. The original draft of the screenplay was titled The Babysitter Murders. Did you know that, TJ?
That I did not.
And also The Night He Came Home. Did you know that one, TJ?
That one I knew.
John Carpenter directed the film, which stars Donald Pleasance as Samuel Loomis, and of course, Jamie Lee Curtis as Laurie Strode, and Nick Castle, of course, as The Shape. Tony Moran, Deborah Hill, Tommy Lee Wallace also shared the role of The Shape. So did you know that there was that many people that actually played Michael Myers?
No, I actually thought it was only one person that was playing him.
Yeah, I'm not sure what Deborah Hill has to do with anything. I didn't do a deep dive into why. I was actually kind of surprised. Like, I always kind of like, well, both Tommy Lee Wallace and Nick Castle, I've kind of both knew over the course of the franchise played Michael Myers. I didn't know that they both plus two, including a Deborah Meyer, a Deborah Hill played Michael Myers or The Shape as well. Like, I was kind of surprised. I didn't even know that until I wrote my treatment up. back to the movie. It's set in the fictional suburban Midwestern town of Haddonfield, Illinois. Fucking Flatlanders. On Halloween, the central theme of the film is Myers' escape from a psychiatric hospital and his subsequent murder of several teenagers. While Dr. Loomis attempts to track and stop him, it is regarded, this film, the Halloween 1978, the OG, is regarded widely as a classic among horror films and one of the most influential horror films of its era. Again, like I said, after this movie came out, started having copycats, and that's pretty much, in my opinion, this is where true horror slasher genre started with the original Halloween. I mean, you can't praise it enough. It is probably my number one horror movie of all time. That's like a whole nother list. We can probably do that next year, maybe in a year. TJ, people will forget that I just said that. But yeah, it's not only my number one Halloween film, Halloween, the franchise film of all time. It's my number one horror film of all time. Jeez. It's so, this is getting to be a really confusing episode for me, TJ. Yeah. I mean, I think it's perfect. And honestly, like of all the costumes I've ever like had as an adult, like I still have my Michael Myers costume with the overalls and the mask. Like I'm all about the Shape, man. I'm all about the Shape. So of course the OG is going to be my number one. If you're going to talk about Halloween films, I don't know, TJ, I might be giving you a slap across the face here, cause I don't know what your number one is. For all we know, it could be The Curse of Michael Myers. Wait, was that already on your list? No, it wasn't. it could be your number one. I don't know, but it could be a slap across the face when I say, if anybody's a fan of this franchise, for the original not to be your number one, there's something wrong with you. You need to freaking throw yourself onto a butcher knife or something and die. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to be that dramatic and drastic, but it is Halloween, so it's a good excuse to be a little bit scary and a little bit mentally disturbed and deranged on this podcast right now. But yeah, so Halloween, the original is my number one. TJ, give us your tippy top.
Well, Paul, my number one is Halloween from 1978.
Hey, we can agree upon something finally. Wow. So why is it, why do you like it so?
Well, I like it because it kind of, it's where everything kind of started.
Right.
You know, kind of showed Michael Myers when he was a kid and what happened to what his one sister. Then it went later on the years and showed him coming back after his other sister.
Right.
Yeah, so I actually thought it was kind of nice seeing how he ended up breaking out of the hospital he was institutionalized in, and then stealing a car, driving back to Haddonfield, where Dr. Loomis is informed that he broke out, so he's trying to find him and hunt him down. Yeah, that was actually my number one Halloween movie. I love that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good. I had to look into this whole Michael Myers, The Shape casting. So Deborah Hill was a producer, and she must have been maybe like some kind of stand-in for some shots or something. Maybe I don't know what they would have used her for exactly. My notes that I took stated that she portrayed him at some point. But I can't find exactly where. So she must have been like some kind of stand-in. Nick Castle and Tommy Lee Wallace are both listed as the main Michael Myers, The Shape. And then I found Tony Moran here is the unmasked Michael Myers, actually. And then a Will Sandin. Now, this website's telling me that there was a Will Sandin that also played Michael Myers, but that was the child Michael Myers. So I guess maybe that's why my original notes didn't list him, because I wasn't talking about the child Michael Myers. But as far as The Shape goes, yeah, there's a little bit more detail there. But yeah, well, TJ, I'm glad we can agree that the original Halloween is both our number ones, both our favorite of the franchise.
Yeah, it's like the rest. I mean, I enjoyed some of the rest of the movies, but yeah, the original has been my number one.
So just out of curiosity, of all Halloween films, which one did you hate the most? What is your very dead last?
Let's see. Well, I would have to say, I mean, honestly, I did not like the remake of Halloween 2.
Oh, the Rob Zombie one?
Yep, the Rob Zombie one. I watched that, and I didn't care for that whatsoever.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the horse. I mean, really?
Yep.
Come on. And the fact that he's unmasked and then, like, is, like, a kind of subtly masked and like in a different mask. Mm-hmm. It's just ridiculous. It was just a dumbass, another dumbass Rob Zombie movie. And you know what I'm scared about, TJ?
What's that, Paul?
You know that he got the rights to make the monsters, right?
No, this is the first time I've heard of that.
Yeah, he is making a monsters movie.
Oh boy.
And yeah, old boy's right. So I don't know if they want him to aim for at least like a PG-13, because I don't think a hard R-rated Monsters movie by Rob Zombie sits very well with me. I'm a big Monsters fan, as Rob Zombie is too. He's, you know, the Dracula, for crying out loud, mm-hmm. based off of the Monsters and, you know, classic B-flick horror type films. But yeah, he's obviously well known to be a Monsters fan. But he better do right by other fans of the Monsters, because the only movie that he's ever done that I actually like mm-hmm. is House of a Thousand Corpses. But like I said, if it's like his original films, fine. Do what you want. You know, people are going to like them or they're not. But if you're already going to take an intellectual property that people know and love, like mm-hmm. you need to do right. Don't be injecting whatever I called his Halloween movies, like Southern Alabama hillbilly trailer trash shit. Like, don't be putting that in the Monsters. And then of course he's got to stick his wife in everything. And she's a terrible actress. I'm sorry. And this is coming from somebody that had every White Zombie and Rob Zombie album and saw Rob Zombie in concert and loves his music, at least his films, not so much, which, whatever. But all right, TJ, well, anything else you want to add?
Well, as I say, I enjoy the Halloween franchise.
Yes. And if you haven't done so already, go out and see Halloween Kills. It's not the worst. We'll just put it that way. I'll just say it's not as good as Halloween 2018. Maybe Halloween Ends will be better. I'm kind of hoping. But yeah, so that's going to do it. Since we did talk about video games, there's no Porto Rota players pro tip of the day, because there's no players involved. So therefore I can't really give one, but I want to thank TJ for joining us for the first time on the Retro Rankings podcast. Thank you, TJ.
You're welcome, Paul.
I'm glad that everything worked out and the scheduling has worked out and we got this in. Hopefully we can get you in on another episode in the not too distant future.
Yeah, it sounds great. I'm looking forward to it.
Yes. And we need to get you back in the seat to do some more quotation rotation reviews stuff as well. I've got some ideas we'll have to talk about.
Well, that sounds like a plan. I like that.
Awesome. So that's going to do it. Of course, everybody, quotationrotation.com is your central hub for everything quotation rotation related, both the YouTube channels. And the most recent episode of the Retro Rankings podcast is also featured on the homepage there as well. Just in case you're sick of your Spotify or your Google podcasts and your Apple bullshit, you can always just go to the website. It's right there embedded for you to listen to and enjoy in all its glory. Shoot me an email, quotationrotation@gmail.com. Check us out on Instagram, Facebook, the Twatter. I'm also on Discord, but I don't know what I hardly know what Discord even like does. Like I'm on there and like I'm active in some things, but I don't know what some of these things are. Right now I'm actually trying to a new Mountain Dew flavor came out on the East Coast at Food Lion's grocery stores, which I've never heard of a Food Lion. So there's an exclusive Mountain Dew that's only out there and I want it. And I've got some cans. If anybody's listening, I've got some cans of Flamin' Hot Mountain Dew. I'm willing to trade one can of Flamin' Hot Mountain Dew for this other Mountain Dew that came out. You know what I'm talking about. I don't know. It's like a, I don't even remember what the fuck flavor it is. I don't know. I think it's Mountain Dew. It starts with a U. I don't know. But anybody at a Food Lion, you know what I'm talking about. If you're hit me up, I've got a can of Flamin' Hot. I'm willing to do a trade for two bottles of this Food Lion Mountain Dew. So anyway, a little off on a tangent here. But anyway.
How is the Flamin' Hot Mountain Dew?
Well,
pretty hot, or
you can, if you want to know, TJ, and like everybody else, go to Quotation Rotation Reviews on YouTube and you can watch my review of the Flamin' Hot Mountain Dew. So, So TJ, again, thanks for joining us.
Oh, you're very welcome, Paul. This is a fun episode,
and I want to wish everybody a happy and fun and safe Halloween. And we're going to see you guys on the next episode. We'll talk to you later.
Hey, bye-bye.
Bye.